Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
Hey, hey, hey. It's the sporadic but still exciting Brad and Brit cast. Mm-hmm. We are glad you are with us because of my in and outing of myself here because of my medical condition, which I'll be happy to update you on in a moment. We're today live in the noon hour. That's a Thursday. And then we will go live tomorrow in our traditional 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Okay. Doing our best here.
It's a special Friday edition of Monday Night Football.
Special. Oh, God. I'm so confident in what I'm about to ask you in front of everyone.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a Peacock account?
The answer is, of course I have a Peacock account in my own name that I'm not crouching on with of anybody else I didn't trade for, because the WWE stuff is on Peacock.
Got it. Because my brother just sent me his login stuff. He says, I don't want you to dare miss that playoff game on NBC on Saturday. So I'm in.
Are you also as bemused and flummoxed that everyone is going crazy? You know, Mad Dog Russo had I don't know if that's a 6th degree meltdown for him. People are just absolutely just completely upset.
So did Francesa. And by the way, I completely agree with them. I agree with them, Britt.
How could you? Because this thing just popped up out of nowhere. We only found out a couple of days ago this is going to be.
That's not the point. Oh, just because they've been saying that this was going to be the deal for that makes it okay. No,
for the season,
Britt, I'm going to kill you in 6 months. I'm going to come to your house and kill you. Is that okay? Because I've given you warning. No,
if I know you're going to do it, then I can make plans.
No, no.
Why do you mean plans
to get around the issue? That's not the issue.
If it would have been the Browns and the Texans, it would have been less egregious. But this is like I don't understand.
Nothing to do with
it. What is it?
You know what this is. For 75 years, NFL games, playoff games have been available on over-the-air television, formerly known as free TV, but now just TV. Okay. And this is the first time that a playoff game has been put behind a paywall, which is what Peacock is. You have to pay to be able to access it. And apparently it's going to net the NFL about an extra $100 million. I guess they get a cut or they signed a deal with NBC Peacock to make more money off of this. And if you don't think that this is a test case to see whether they can ever get away with making the Super Bowl a full pay-per-view for all of America so that when you run the numbers, it could be a $3 trillion payday, some kind of crazy thing. You're not thinking about it. And it's just flat out greed. The NFL is a money machine. They're not desperate. This is obnoxious. It's the old Jim Cramer, right? Right?
Oh, pigs get slaughtered.
Bears make money, bulls make money, pigs get slaughtered. And I know the NFL is just like Trump. Every time they do something shitty, it's just great, right?
This is just
shitty. This is pissing on your fans.
The pearls moment that the NFL owners are actually greedy people must have been quite a wake-up call to you.
There you go. Well, since we've known they are, it's okay that they continue to do that. No, it's wrong. They shouldn't do it. Don't defend them. You don't want to be defending this.
We knew about this before the season, and everybody acts like this. They just came up with this, but no, it's a game that I want to watch.
You just repeated your lame defense. You're like, because the, you're like the guy the other day. You're like the other guy. The guy who always like this, trying to defend Trump. By the way, he was so unlistenable. I wanted to have Trump immediately carted off to jail just because he has a lawyer. He sounds 5 degrees worse than Robert F. Kennedy Jr. What is with that? God damn, that guy was impossible, wasn't he? Jesus Christ.
I found out that Threads is making gains on Twitter because I got into a useless fight with some guy about this, and I offered to Venmo him the $5 so he could get the Peacock subscription, and then he told me to fuck off. So now I know that if you can have pointless fights with strangers like that on Threads, by God, Zuckerberg's got something. He's achieved parity with Twitter. That you can have stupid, pointless, ridiculous fights about shit where some stranger who has no idea who you are can tell you to fuck off in the end.
By the way, I didn't see you offer me your password into Peacock. I had to have my brother do it.
What do you offer? I didn't see that offer. What do you bring into the table?
What do you mean? Britt, it's called Max. Look it up. Where are you getting that from? Where are you getting that from, boy? Where are you getting that from? Yeah,
I traded my Peacock for Paramount Plus. That's what I've traded my Peacock for. Jeez,
it's gotten ridiculous, hasn't it?
It is. But you know, John Skipper, the guy who used to be in charge of ESPN, he's kind of a dick in his own way. The University of North Carolina graduate. He goes, "Hey, nobody promised you it was going to be cheaper. Nobody promised you that."
You know, we've got an ESPN scandal that's way worse than the Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers thing.
I just saw this.
This is so stupid. It's almost, I can't even understand what they were trying to do. In March of 2023, this is according to The Athletic, that's the New York Times sports website.
Yeah.
Shelly Smith, who was at ESPN for 26 years, got a call from the head of the studio and event production unit and said she wanted to talk about something serious. She recalled that Smith needed to return 2 sports Emmy statuettes that she had gotten more than 10 years ago. The request, one of many ESPN made of some of its biggest stars after the organization that administers the Emmys uncovered a scheme that ESPN used to acquire more than 30 of the coveted statuettes. For their on-air talent, ineligible to receive them. Since at least 2010, ESPN inserted fake names into Emmy entries, then took the awards won by some of the fake individuals. How do they award statues to fake individuals? So people vote on people that they don't even know exist or not? I don't understand this whole thing.
And what's then the advantage for ESPN? Why does ESPN do what sort of leg up are they getting on anybody for this?
God. Thank goodness this game that is having to be paid for by NFL fans is on the always reliable and ethical NBC Peacock instead of ESPN. Based on this, I'm done with them. Is there anybody that isn't full of shit? That should be my next new book. Is there anybody that isn't full of shit?
I don't think you want to know what the answer to that is. I think pretty much everybody is. I think that's the point. Yeah. Right, give everybody a quick health update before we go much further here, before we go on.
Here you go. And I wish I had these. I'd do it. I'd do a full Lee Corso. I would take the North Carolina helmet off, UNC helmet, put it down. And then put on a Wake Forest Demon Deacon helmet because I'm getting treatment now at Wake Forest Baptist Hospital for my other fibrosis. And we've just started to contact my two brothers to see if they are stem cell matches. This is an illness that essentially has wiped out my bone marrow. I got not a lot happening down there, so I have to get blood transfusions at least once a week. And there's no time to be wasted for this, and I hope that this all works out and we get ourselves a good match. And if it's not my brothers, and then if it's not my kids, We will go to the worldwide, be the match, group of people who have donated generously over the years, and see if one of them matches up with me. I think there's a pretty good chance of that happening, and they can work around it. It doesn't have to be 100% perfect. And this is a process that's going to take a couple, really 6 weeks, probably to 2 months to really get rolling. And at that point, Britt, you'll be taking a hiatus from this, because I'll be out of commission for several months following that. But the folks at UNC that we were working with were great. The folks at Wake Forest, every bit as excellent. And the switch is only because it's more geographically convenient for me to be only 20 miles from the hospital that we're going to be associated with, instead of about 55 miles, which is Chapel Hill. That's the only reason. But I feel fine right now. I'm very lucky. I don't have any of the symptoms, the physical symptoms that you get outwardly from a disease like this. But if it is not attended to, and if it's not fixed via the stem cell implant and all the associated excellence of that, if it works, then it's likely that this will just develop into some form of leukemia, and I'll die. But other than that, not a lot on the line. But I can't.
On that note.
On that happy note. Yeah. But really, this is the only cure for what I have. There's no medicine. There's no drug that changes your bone marrow if it's gone the way mine has. So that's the beginning and the end, without getting overly detailed, but we'll run from there. Next week, schedule looks like this, unless something happens. Monday, blood transfusion. Rest of the week, clear. Okay. But that's subject to, you know, other appointments that would come up. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Where I'd have to go there. And that's how you do it. You know, they send these little kits to my brothers. One's in New York, one's in California, and they swab their mouth, and they put the Q-tip back in the thing and send it back, and it goes to a lab, and they try to see whether their DNA and therefore their stem cell profile matches up with mine.
And as far as you're aware, nothing like this has ever happened in your family?
No.
Yeah.
No. No. This is a one-off.
Right.
This is a one-off. And my version of this disease is it could be one in a million, because it's not hereditary. It's all mutations. It's like watching a zombie movie. Where do they all come from? It just happened to them. I've got little zombies in me.
Out of the woods, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a physical on Monday, and they drew the blood, and you better believe I was paying attention to that white blood cell count to make sure, you know, I'm in a healthy range or whatever. So, yeah. There you go.
All I wanted you to do was donate to me your Peacock Plus sign in. That's all. I didn't want your blood.
All right. Okay. I'm ready for your list.
Fox blows Trump, and he doesn't even say thank you. justice delayed is justice denied in Concord, North Carolina. Hello.
Hello.
You get a new coach. Everybody gets a new coach. And one decent poll for Joe right now.
God, we might as well start with Coachamania, because we've seen already in this new year some momentous stuff happen in jobs that had been held for quite a while by guys who had won a lot of games.
Isn't this a... let's start with college, and then we'll move up to professional. Isn't this the inevitable byproduct of the system now, where players just move around at will to the highest bidder. It wouldn't matter how good a coach you used to be under a system where you could at least, it's hard to be nostalgic for the old system, but at least it was likely you'd get 2 years out of a player, sometimes 3 or 4. But now it doesn't matter. It's almost inverse. The better the player, the more likely that player is to not spend more than a season with you because their value goes up and they see that they can make more money going through the transfer portal by switching to another university. And you're the coach left holding the bag and you just have to play the same game and go grab some other player from some. I mean, it's something's got to change here, right? This can't continue. This cannot stand. The center is not holding on this, right?
It's a new kind of way of looking at things. Nobody seems to know how to get their hands around it, but the players are finally getting paid on a multi-billion-dollar system. They're actually getting some money out of this situation. I don't know how you fix it or whatever, but yeah, there's some of that that's going on, but no one appears to be, and they're looking to Congress to try to regulate it. Congress can't even regulate the stuff they regulate.
Now, that's a great idea.
They've been screaming toward Washington, please give us some guidance. We can't handle this.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, the players should get compensated. Can't be against that, really. They work hard. They risk their lives. They risk injury, they should be compensated. But at the same time, the basis of the game is the fact that you go to your university and then the rest of your life you cheer for the team. But now it's gotten ridiculous because, in my case, can I tell you the names of all the players all these years that have played? Say, I went to Ohio State. No. But at least for a couple of years, you would have a great running back or a great receiver, play there. Now, forget it.
It's not unusual to have several quarterbacks in college that are older by a couple of years than some of the guys who played a couple of years in the NFL. It's kind of ridiculous.
Right. So now we've reached the end of that discussion, but it elicits coaches like Nick Saban, who obviously adjusted for decades to whatever was going on, but probably in his mind says, do I need this shit? Do I really need this shit anymore? And he's not ever going to say it that way.
No, he's like,
but you gotta think that.
72 years old. I mean, there's no way he could possibly spend all the money that he's gotten in his life. I mean, he does have, I think he's got at least one or two vacation homes. One of them's up in a lake in Tennessee. And I'm sure, I don't know, maybe his wife's going, could we just go do this and just hang out, get on a jet ski and just fuck around for a while? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Instead of like having a flaming dog turd put on our porch every time we lose to somebody, can we just go up to Tennessee and just hang out?
Wait a minute. You seem to know a lot about that.
I have no idea that somebody's putting flaming dog turds at 1319 Euclid Street over in Tuscaloosa. Why would somebody do such a thing? I think
what's that zip code again?
It's 84322. I mean, I don't know who's been doing that at exactly 11:50 on the nights after they lose. I have hated on Coach Saban for a while, but I believe his place in college football history is kind of secure. One of the best
not if he doesn't win one more, Britt.
Well, that's when I know he was really hurt and trying to win me over, but he never got there. So that's really the gaping hole in Nick Saban's life is that he never got my approval. I mean, you have to give props where it's due, and people forget this. Before he came to Alabama, they were on their ass. They were not the dominant national power that they had been in the past. They were not that great. And he made them into something that was massive, huge, unbelievable. Now, I would just
can't deny that. We're just right at this moment, though, he's proven what he needs to prove. See you later. That's it.
I would like to.
Now, his good buddy, who's the same age as him, Bill Belichick.
Correct.
Is given no indication that he's done, even though he's done with the Patriots, that he wants to keep coaching. And he's the same age, 72. I wonder, maybe that's fake conventional wisdom or things that are out there floating around with no real basis, that he wants to start over at that age in the NFL, where, you know, you're at the mercy of idiot owners above you. I can't think of any offhand.
I can't either. There's no idiot owners. I don't know where you get that idea. Don't you kind of hope that Belichick is like the head coach of River Mill Academy in Springfield, like next year, with those, you know, sleeves cut up like that, and he's out there like in November somewhere, just kind of chomping on gum and kind of like there's some 16 or 17 year old kids he's trying to get into shape. Don't you hope that that's the deal?
Yeah, as someone who's 4 years younger than Belichick, and I'm basically staring death in the face here right now, and I'm thinking, if you make it to 72 with your health, with everything, do you want to keep working? Because he obviously was a very hard worker, and he drove his players harder than anybody else that you can think of. Would you want to do that? Would you want to start over? You had the perfect marriage with an owner for 25 years. You had the best quarterback you could ever ask for. You're not going to get that again. He's not going to turn, you know, some second tier guy into Tom Brady overnight. It doesn't work that way. You know, that was just lightning striking from two different directions. They came together.
And Bill Belichick is at the age, and with his resources, he can do anything he wants to. He can start a foundation with the most opulent dog rescue in the history of the planet up in New England. If that's what he wanted to do, you know, there's literally nothing he could not do.
But everyone is 100% forgiving of the last two or three years. Okay. Brady leaves.
Yeah.
Brady proves it's Brady,
right,
and not Belichick at a certain level. Come on.
Right.
That's apparently been forgotten here, because Brady goes to Tampa Bay with not the greatest team in the world and wins one more Super Bowl.
That's right.
So Belichick has had three shitty years here at the end. Doesn't he risk something by going somewhere and sucking for another two or three years before walking away? Because now you have 5 or 6 years of mediocre performance, not even mediocre performance, the same kind of mediocre performance he had when he coached Osei in Cleveland before he went to the Patriots. Was he the coach of the Giants for a minute or so? I can't even remember.
It was the Jets for half a second before he never even coached a single game for them and wrote his resignation essentially on a cocktail napkin.
As great as he is, as much as all the former players of his extol his virtues, he's only human and he's only subject to whatever is around him and his ability to mold that. And it's a different world than it was 25 years ago when he started to build the Patriots organization with an owner who obviously was very smart also. If he goes and sucks wind for three more years, yes, okay, he'll have won more games than anybody else, because I think he needs, 15 or 16 to pass Don Shula, which, by the way, nobody cares about that. It doesn't mean anything.
They don't. What would he have to prove to anyone? You suck as a coach unless you get that record. I mean, I agree with you on that level.
But then we get back to the famous Bill Russell, Jim Brown.
Yeah.
The people who knew when to walk away before they really started to deteriorate. And
Barry Sanders would be in that
right
group right there. Yeah,
that's right.
But there's no reward for that in the moment. Nope, yeah, very few people go, hey, good on you. They always go, oh, you bum. Why the hell did you step away? You could have won this, that, and the third. I'm with you. I think that it would be silly for him to go out there. I also think it wouldn't really prove or disprove anything about him if he goes and he goes to the Chargers and he's, you know, 8-9 for three seasons in a row. I don't know why you would do that, but, you know, and as you know, I'm not a fan. I'm not a defender. But again, you have to recognize greatness. And if that ain't greatness, then I don't know what is. I just don't know what is. And you've seen the video of Saban and Belichick on the same staff with the Cleveland Browns, because they've been buds for a number of years and this, all that. The last part of this before we move on to something else that our fans for a number of years would recognize as the Brad and Britt cast is I'll just float this to you. Next University of Alabama coach, Urban Meyer. I just want to float that and see the smile that it puts on your face, because I think it would be such a car. It's going to be such a car wreck, and I would love to see it happen, because when you turn that guy loose in a town full of co-eds in Tuscaloosa, you are literally putting an alcoholic in the Jack Daniels distillery.
But see, Urban Meyer is in a similar category right now. He's got this great record,
yeah,
that is slightly tarnished there at the end.
Slightly.
But nobody's using that to say that he couldn't win, and everywhere he went, he would, you know, have success. And the downside risk of going into a hellhole where the minute you lose a game, you know, there are 500 for sale signs up on your front lawn, get out of town. Again, there's so much downside really not that much upside when you're just expected to win and win only. Win only. I mean, now that I think about all this, you know, maybe the person in a good coaching position in the national profile sense now looks to be, could be Ryan Day. He's suddenly...
Yeah.
Nobody called for his head because they've lost to Michigan three times in a row.
Well,
he's got support, and Michigan is going to be in turmoil here, yeah, when they change coaches. I don't care who it is. It's going to, yeah, be different. And so, and I notice his name doesn't come up at all as someone who would, like, say, want to go to Alabama. Why would he want to go, for instance, to Alabama?
But you know that next year is the year for him. Like, if he doesn't start, yeah, like, making the major moves and beating you-know-who, yeah, it's going to be a, yeah, problem next year.
Yeah, four in a row would be.
That would be, like, it's good. Time. I'm afraid you have to go, sir.
Right.
Fox blows Trump, and Trump doesn't even say thank you.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you watched the crap last night.
No,
at all.
I caught the highlights or the low.
It was just dreadful. It was really dreadful. I mean, just when you thought that Fox couldn't get any worse, I think last night's show was the worst of all. First of all,
okay.
The fact that they allowed Trump to back them into a corner and say, the only way I will do this for you is if you do it in the exact same hour that Nikki Haley and DeSantis are over there on CNN. As we talked about this earlier in the week, we talked about it last week. He's just waiting for the ratings to come out to be able to crow that he crushed them.
Right.
Because that's all he's about. And Bret Baier, who actually has been, apparently when he's been heavily drinking, capable of pushing Trump, not only did he not push him, he sat there and read a few questions or statements. That, let's go to Mary Johnson. She's a homemaker from Ankeny, Iowa. You know, so they just let the people ask stupid softball solicitous questions. And then, of course, Trump answers for 8 minutes. And you do recall, Britt, that in the 2020 election cycle leading up to the election and in 2016, there seemed to always be just a week or two where Trump suddenly became, quote unquote, normal, where he didn't yell, he didn't rant. He spoke to people at town halls. He thanked them for the question. He was acting. Or you believe that that's how Donald Trump really is, and the other 99% of the time, he's
the act.
Acting like a crazy man. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Fox allowed him to be that relaxed guy on the stool with one leg this way, one way the other way, turning and thanking. Thank you for that question. That is exact. Thank you so much. And that didn't cover up the fact that he was lying about everything, but he did it in a much more normal sounding voice. So this is all designed to normalize and reassure any Trump voters who are watching him on Fox, and that's every damn one of them, that don't worry, all this stuff about dictator and revenge, that's all. No, I'm Don Trump. I'm your buddy. And they let him get away with it. They just absolutely, they let him do this lying rant that wasn't a rant. It was low key about abortion. And at the very end, of course, he lapsed into the, you know, we're not the radicals. They're the radicals who want to rip the baby out at the ninth month. Sometimes after the baby's born, they want to rip the baby out. Rip the baby out from where? And kill the baby. You know, he was able to restrain himself for about 4 minutes of the answer about abortion. But then, of course, in that last minute, he went right back to form. But he didn't do it crazy like he does at the rallies. He did it in a more inside voice. And Fox just sit back and let him have a full 1 hour infomercial. And of course, you've seen this a million times now. Who was the big winner from last night from Haley versus DeSantis? The answer, Trump. We know. Yeah, we know. But that's right. It never gets old, but it's correct in this case, because over on CNN, you know, they're just scrapping at each other like Itchy and Scratchy, our brother and sister, accusing the other one of lying about this, lying about that. You don't learn anything. It's all just crap. But both of them completely still reticent, even at this late hour, to talk about Donald Trump. I don't think his name came up for an hour and a half, because as you know, in their world, they're convinced that they gain nothing ever by going after the front runner. Chris Christie dropping out on Wednesday with a eloquent speech in a little town hall there. Good for him. But then he trashed Nikki Haley and made sure that you didn't want to think that he was going to endorse her. And of course, he did the one thing, of course, that if he doesn't do it, then this is all for nothing, which is, well, it's not like I could vote for Joe Biden. He didn't go that far.
Yeah, good for him. Good on him.
Yeah, good on him. So, now,
by the way, the hot mic moment for Chris Christie.
Wait, that's a fake moment. It wasn't hot mic.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. It's perfect fidelity. Fidelity. Okay, here's a hot mic moment with us. Ready?
Britt, what are you doing tonight? Oh, you're going to be pissing on little kids in the corner.
That's a hot mic moment where I don't think I'm being heard. But if there's perfect fidelity, that means the mic is right in front of you.
Now, you remember the situation on The West Wing when President Bartlett is still live and they got some B-roll behind the scenes from a local TV program, and he accidentally talks about his rival there, the governor from Florida, played by Mr. Brolin. So you remember, of course, that Governor Bartlett knew exactly what he was doing. He knew the light was on. He knew that the comet would penetrate and go around the world. So I think that's exactly what happened in this case.
What is that? What are they saying?
Oh, Chris Christie. Oh my God. I had no idea that those remarks that I was saying about my two rivals who I hate, I didn't know that was going to get out there. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I almost wish the Dallas Cowboys were on that Peacock game so he could whine and bitch and complain and kvetch and moan and everything else about it.
So Wednesday night was just adventures in nothingness, but Now, here's Fox. They just got tagged for what, $800 and some million in fines for what they did, for their utter dishonesty. What they did last night, in its own way, was as equally dishonest as lying to their viewers after they told the truth to their viewers about the election results, because giving Donald Trump a full hour of just let him riff, let him talk, let him say things without ever questioning him, without bringing up, oh, the specifics of any of the cases against him that are being adjudicated in court right now. That didn't come up. That stuff didn't come up. Not important. Can't talk about it. Can't go there.
Would you ever even recognize it if Fox was honest with their viewers? Would you ever?
Oh, you know it. You'd know it if you saw it.
Would balloons fall from the ceiling and confetti shoot from the sky and fireworks go off and all that shit if it ever did happen?
Yeah. But just think about the evolution of the story about Rupert Murdoch hates Trump. We learned during the trial that Rupert had turned on Trump, was fed up with Trump, knew and still knows that Trump is bad for America. But in the end, it's always about the bottom line. It's always about business. And from what was televised on Wednesday night on Fox, they've put their chips right back on the guy that they think is best for business, and that's Donald Trump all the way. And anybody that was watching television on Wednesday morning during the Hunter Biden in and out of that House hearing for 30 minutes, the three networks that are cable, you know, they put that banner at the bottom. You know, CNN says, you know, Hunter Biden leaves hearing. MSNBC says Hunter Biden and lawyer leave hearing after 30 minutes. And then on Fox, it says Hunter Biden flees hearing. Okay. He flees it. Okay.
We gotta talk about that, because that whole thing was just absolutely as entertaining as it gets. I know it's not great for the country to have people, and I'm not going to do the, oh my God, why are these two sides doing all of this when we need, I'm not going to do all that shit, because it is just one side. I'm sorry. I hate to break this to the media that it's only one side that's basically fucking everything up, but it is.
This is my question, and it kind of runs through the whole thread of this. Why do Republicans refuse to question Hunter Biden in public? Are they afraid that he would just destroy them?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the answer. That's the answer. Well, they want to be able to question him not live and not in front of the public, so that they can come out after it's over and then lie about whatever was said. That's the beginning and the end of this.
But
right?
their antidote for everything is Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, showing that dick pic of him. She flashes it at him like it's a fucking cross against a vampire.
Right.
I mean, that's all they got. That's their kill switch that they think is going to be. Yeah, and he figured out this is going to be another joke, and here she goes again with my dick, which she's obsessed with, I think I'm going to take a hike. I gave you guys an opportunity.
Nancy Mace was obsessed with his balls.
He
doesn't have any balls.
And you saw the Democrats, they were just like giving.
They were ready.
Zero fucks. The Jared Moskowitz guy. Haven't seen it, he's got a picture. It's like a 5x5 picture of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein. It's that famous picture. He just holds it up and he goes, hey, if we're worried about grooming people, and we're worried about shit like that, if we're going to show dick pics, here's a giant dick. He was the president for 4 years. This is him next to Epstein. And he just flashes it up there while he's talking. And I'm sorry, but it's the greatest shit of all time. And I think it was Moskowitz who goes, hey, if we're worried about contempt, here's Mark Meadows. Contempt. Here's Jim Jordan. Here's Kevin McCarthy. And he just like, these are the subpoenas that they'd ignored from, you know, the United States House of Representatives. And he just stacked them on top and said, this needs to be entered into the record. It was
You're leaving out the best detail. It's been 666 days, 3 hours, and 20 minutes since Jim Jordan ignored a subpoena. Way to keep putting it in there.
You can have all of your great moments in, you know, United States congressional history, whether it's at long last, have you no shame, whatever you want to go back in time with, you know, is there a listening system in the White House? Whatever great moments in, you know, the history of the two houses of the United States legislative branch. But by God, that shit yesterday was unbelievable. It was really good. I loved every bit of it. And I'm glad that they're, you know, you got to fight bullshit with bullshit.
Lastly here, how about one good poll for Joe Biden? Good poll. In Pennsylvania, Quinnipiac University poll of registered voters in Pennsylvania released this day. You could say it's still too close to call, but it's 49% Biden, 46% Trump, which it is close. But in October, Trump was up 47-45. So that's a bit of a flip there. And most importantly, it's not more of a deterioration for Joe Biden's numbers. I guess that's the most important. The Democrats are ready to vote for Joe Biden by 96-4. Margin, and Republicans 89-7. So Joe Biden more solid with Democrats numerically than Donald Trump. And you know what? That's kind of a big deal. That's a 3 percentage point difference between you can count on Democrats to be solidly with Biden versus you can count on Republicans to be a solid wall for Trump. 3% less or fewer Republicans say that. That's the margin of it. That's not a margin of error. That's a margin of victory or loss.
Well,
in races like this.
That follows the really shocking poll from Michigan earlier this week, which showed, you know, I try not to get freaked out and, you know, tighten my belt around my neck every time I see one of these polls. It's difficult because we are in really uncharted territory. You can talk about Harry Truman in 1948. You can talk about this, that, and the third, but this is like nothing we've ever seen before. It's frightening. Again, we have to stop with the histrionics, particularly among the Democrats, that just anybody we would nominate under the age of 65, they would just swamp Donald Trump 70-30. Stop with the bullshit. That's not the deal. That's not what would happen. Anybody that you run against Donald Trump, any poll you want to look at, Donald Trump gets 48% of the vote. So shut up. Doesn't matter if it's Gavin Newsom or if it's Gretchen Whitmer or if it's, you know, Fozzie Bear. Doesn't matter. Trump's going to get 48% of the vote no matter what. So you got to kind of temper all this stuff. But the polls have not been that great. And it is nice to have a decent one here in Pennsylvania, like you said.
They also polled it if there were 5 people running, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Jill Stein of the Green Party, and Cornel West.
Right.
And in that 5-person theoretical matchup, Biden 41, Trump 39, Kennedy 11, Stein 4, and Cornel West 2. Of course, if you add up Jill Stein and Cornel West to Joe Biden, it's a blowout. Robert F. Kennedy, I don't think anybody can really figure out who he takes the most from. It's pretty hard. So if you make him a wash, these two people on the outside there in the Green Party and Cornel West, if they're 5 or 6% of the vote, here we go again. You know, so
I don't know. It's too early to tell. There's so much stuff that's going to happen between now and November. Nobody's paying attention to this, but you and I, you and I are paying attention to this. People right around Labor Day might start getting into it. I don't know. Anything could happen.